Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. These are God's words. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ in your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Since this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, notice that the apostle, as he often does, gives thanks for them, gives thanks to God for them. Before launching into his letter, even though it's a small letter, he is going to be rebuking them for and warning them against letting Jewish legalisms, Jewish additions, or clinging to things that were shadows instead of clinging to Christ himself, letting those have a big part in their religion. Or on the other side, he also warns against human wisdom, things like would come in from Greek culture, just from any man-made addition from philosophy or seeming spiritual wisdom or cleverness. So he's got lots of things that he needs to correct them about, warn them about, and he does, by the Spirit, show some pastoral wisdom in expressing thanksgiving to God for them first. In this way, he expresses Christian affection, confidence that they are believers, and they can receive the correction in the fatherly and brotherly spirit in which the apostle writes to them. That's a good example for us. Sometimes you will not be able to affirm that you have good hope of someone's conversion because you don't. But in general, within a church that does practice discipline, you can give the judgment of charity to those who are members in good standing and speak to them as brothers and not make yourself a judge of their souls. And then you can add to that thanksgiving for those evidences of God's grace that you see in them. And so he gives thanksgiving for those evidences, and we'll see that he considers God to have worked very graciously in them. And so the first thing we'll look at is that he models thankfulness for the measure of God's grace in them. The second place, he describes how this has occurred, and so he'll express thanksgiving to God for the means by which he has done, by which the Lord has done this gracious work in the Colossian believers. And then, as he includes at the end of his little prayer of thanksgiving here, Epaphras and his ministry, and then also there, the Colossian believers' love, we see that he also models thankfulness for ministers of God's grace, those believers and the service that the Lord uses them to do. And so the apostle doesn't just say that he and Timothy give thanks, praying always for them. And it's a wonderful picture, Paul and Timothy together in prison, having their prayer time. Surely they had private prayer time as well. But when Paul had for his family, his traveling companion with whom he had been arrested in the ministry, he still had family worship. And he is letting the Colossians know that he and Timothy, and probably any others who are with them, are involved in these prayers. But he doesn't just tell them that he prays and thanks God for them. He gives them an example of what that thanking God looks like And he gives us an example. The Holy Spirit records for us a way of, a form, an example of thanking God in our prayers. Thanking God for the measure of his grace, the means of his grace, and the ministers of his grace. First then, the measure of his grace. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Faith, hope, and love are things that are spiritual and valuable. They are even better than tongues and other revelatory gifts. 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14, in describing the chaos that they had in the worship and the rivalry that they had in the congregation, because people were all wanting to be center stage during worship, which is a horrible thing. Christ alone should be center stage in worship, and that had made problems with women not covering their heads and people not understanding what's going on at the table. So that whole section from 1 Corinthians 11 through 14, in the worship in Corinth, Paul had to correct. And as he sets Christ before them, he shows them how revelatory gifts are gonna come to an end, because there's gonna be a completed Bible. Jesus had promised in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit would lead the apostles into all the truth, all the things that he remained for him to say to them and to say to us, so that we, by the time the apostolic period is over, would have a completed Bible. But he says, when that is done, three things are gonna remain: faith, hope, and love. In this particular passage, he highlights the same three things, and he highlights them in the order: faith, love, and hope. God has given them faith in Christ Jesus, faith into Christ Jesus. So not only have they believed that Jesus is God who became man to save them, but this faith that the Holy Spirit has worked in them is a reality by which they have been joined to Jesus Christ. They are Christ's, and Christ is theirs. And so they belong to him forever and ever. And because they have this faith into Christ, and they have this union with Christ, they have love for all the saints. This is exactly what Jesus said. This is how they will know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another. Remember in the previous letter in Philippians, when Paul was telling the Philippian believers how he loves them, he said he loves them with the bowels of Christ Jesus, with the guts of Christ Jesus. And so this faith that they have in Christ, this love that they have from Christ for all the saints, not only does he thank God for that faith and love, but he thanks God for the hope that is laid up for them in heaven. The faith that they have in Christ now, the love that they have for Christians from Christ now, shows that they are going to come into the last day. They'll be raised again from the dead, perfected souls, glorious bodies, and inherit together with Jesus a new heavens and a new earth. And Christ, the resurrected Savior, who sits in glory in heaven at the time of Paul's writing, is the guarantee that they shall surely receive all of this. And so Paul is thinking of what God has done in them, and what God is doing through them, and what God has reserved and guaranteed that he is yet to do for them. And he overflows with thanksgiving. Because believers are still sinners, it is easy for us to find them rather unremarkable. And we even find ourselves, when we come to pray for someone, perhaps having difficulty lifting up thanksgiving for them. Perhaps because we're focused on how they have sinned against us, or what there is left to do in them, things that they are thinking or doing incorrectly that we are concerned about in their behalf, even as Paul is concerned for the Colossians, we find out later in the letter. But if you focus on the supernatural, the almighty work of God's grace that has been done in them, and the perfection that they will be and that they will receive in the last day. As he focuses here on faith and love and hope, he gives thanks for the measure of God's grace. How greatly God has loved them. Indeed, you can even see in the name that he gives God, in the beginning of verse 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God the Son became a man. The Father gave his Son to become a man for us out of the greatness of his love for us. And so this is the measure of God's grace to us. Christ himself is the measure of God's grace to us. God didn't just give them faith, he gave them Christ. He didn't just give them love, he gave them Christ. He didn't just give them hope, he gave them Christ. And so this is what enables us to offer praise unto God, thanksgiving to God for all believers. So we're to be thankful for the measure of God's grace in others. We're also to be thankful for the means by which God has given this grace. Continuing in verse 5, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Paul was not the one who planted the church in Colossae. It seems that perhaps Epaphras, who is mentioned here, was the one. But the human actor, although we are to be thankful for him, is not to be compared to the means of grace themselves. The word of the truth of the gospel. And so Paul marvels that God has sent a man, and the man spoke words, and those words were the very words of God. They were the words of truth, and they were the words of the good news of what God has done in Jesus. They were the words of the truth of the gospel. And that man spoke words, and the Holy Spirit worked faith by those words in the Colossian believers' hearts, and they came into this faith and hope and love. By the Holy Spirit's almighty work through that word. And so Paul starts thanking God for what he's done in Colossae, and he realizes as he's thanking God for what he's done in Colossae that he's doing it everywhere. There's a danger in being self-focused or proud or even self-anxious and discouraged. We could think about all the wonderful things that God is doing at our church, and we could either be proud and think that our church isn't like all those other churches, or we could be discouraged. There are many churches that are not churches at all, and many others that are very unhealthy, and we could think incorrectly that what the Lord is doing at our church is an isolated work. But no. We know as a Bible fact that the Lord Jesus is building his church, that his word is going out with power all over the world, and that every place that this happens is a miracle. And so as he starts thanking God for the means of his grace in Colossae, which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, he says, as it has also in all the world. So we praise God for the means of his grace, and we praise God for his grace in the means. He says, and is bringing forth fruit. And so Paul is letting them know that the work that God has done among them is a part of a work that God is doing in many places. In many places, people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ, abandoning who they were, and their former person is gone, and they are a new person in Jesus. In many places, these new people in Jesus are full of love to the saints. In many places, the word is bearing the fruit, not only of faith and love, but also hope. They are clinging to Christ in heaven and to an everlasting inheritance, and not anxious over the cares of this world or entrapped by the pleasures of this world. He says, it's bringing forth fruit all over the world, and it has been bringing fruit forth fruit among you, he continues to say in verse 6. As it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. So we should love missionary reports. We should love to read from history what God has done in various places by the sending of his word. We should pray for the word to be sent and the word to bear fruit. We should be glad to know of or meet other Christians from other churches and all over the world. So thanksgiving for the measure of God's grace, this almighty work that he's done in the other believer. Thanksgiving for the means of God's grace that he's given, especially the word here, but also the sacraments and prayer. And then thanksgiving also for the ministers of God's grace, those by whom he brings these means. And that's where he gets in verse 7, and not only now is he thanking God for Epaphras, he's really provoking them to thank God for their minister. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. And so his Christian love for Epaphras overflows in thanksgiving to God, and he's trying to help the Colossians as well. Our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. You think that you sent him to me, but it was Christ especially who sent him from you to me, he's saying. Whenever the Lord uses another believer in our life, we're to view them not only with the love that we have for them as being someone who belongs to Jesus, but with thankfulness to Christ who is using them in our life. They are one of Jesus's love gifts to us. And that's not just of those who are in a formal office in the church like Epaphras was, but also all the Colossians themselves, verse 8, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. And so we are thankful for one another as instruments by whom God does this work in our lives. So it does not take much. All it takes is a believer, and you can thank God for a great measure of grace and his great means of grace, and for using other believers as ministers unto us of that grace. If you are the kind of person, kind of Christian who is in one of those seasons of having difficulty thanking God for others, then the apostle here has given us a model that helps us to offer Christ-sized thanksgiving for Christ-sized grace. Let's pray. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to see the greatness of your gospel and your goodness in giving us your Son. And how wonderful even just this time of Bible study, and then especially in the public worship and the word and sacraments of prayer and prayer there, how wonderful are the means by which you give yourself to us in Christ by your Spirit. And we pray that you would give us hearts that are full of this thankfulness so that it wouldn't be difficult when we come to pray. To give thanksgiving for others. So we pray that our hearts and minds would be full of that thanksgiving, and that you would train us by this portion of your word. We ask that your Holy Spirit would keep us remembering and growing and understand in our understanding of the things that we have heard from this portion of your word. Be glorified by working in us and making us like Christ, and making us like the apostle whom you were conforming to Christ. Indeed, we pray that the work that you have begun in us you would bring to completion until the day of Christ. Work faith and hope and love in us, we pray. Work thanksgiving in us, we pray. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.